obviously it's been a pretty tough 2020, and we do need to continue to look out for one another, which is why it's important to address such topics as this. Resources developed by La Trobe University researchers have been shown to help people better identify and respond to suicide risk. The study found that resources underpinned by a psychological theory known as the bystander intervention model were more effective in soliciting action out of people than other widely available resources addressing the same issue. These are online platforms one can turn to, and it was well documented in the recently released journal from the study published last week titled Crisis, the Journal of Crisis Intervention and Suicide Prevention. To chat us through some of these worthy and important resources is PhD student Corinne Hill. Corinne, how's it going?
Hi, Jared. I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Thanks for joining this show. So, a total of 281 men and women participated in the study. One group had access to resources from the bystander intervention model, the BIM, and the second group of to resources already kind of readily available on the internet. Now, were they a control group of kind of potential responders and I guess those that might take action rather than those that might be surrounded by people at risk of taking their own life?
Yeah, so we recruited just anyone from the general public who was willing to participate, so anyone 18 and up. And yeah, not targeting anyone at risk themselves, just anyone in the public who might want to learn about these resources. And yeah, we had the two groups. So one with resources we sort of have around online already, and then one specifically informed by this model. And we compared some outcomes, so people's confidence and intent and readiness to help someone who might be at risk. And we found that the model was helpful in increasing all of those factors more than the other group. So we found that the model was quite useful to increase that motivation and readiness to help.
Mm-hmm. So what exactly do those that use the bystander intervention model, how do they differ from those previously existing resources?
Yeah, sure. So basically a social psychological phenomenon that's found not just in suicide prevention situations or suicide risk scenarios, but any situation requiring help. So if someone's getting bullied or sexually harassed, or even simple things like, you know, the good old bin at work that needs to be emptied. There's this effect called the bystander effect where most people do nothing. So about 75% of people do nothing because they hope, they think someone else will help. You know, they think, oh, someone else can empty the bin or someone else can help.
Yep.
Or they're scared. They don't know what to do or how to do it. So the model, the bystander intervention model, was designed to overcome that effect. And so our content was informed by that model, and it's a five-part model.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll run through it real quick. It's the first part is noticing that there is an issue. So in our suicide prevention research, it's teaching the public all of the risk factors and warning signs, or some of the most important ones. So some of the community resources can often be quite basic, just mentioning a couple of warning signs and risk factors.
Yep.
Where ours was quite detailed, making sure everyone sort of knows a fair amount. The second part of the model is interpreting those as urgent or important to act on. So not just going, oh, you know, she'll be right, but sort of going, well, there's, even if there's just one to do something. The third part of the model is taking personal responsibility to help. So not waiting or not hoping someone else, but doing something or finding someone else who can if they don't feel up to it. The fourth part of the model focuses on teaching people what to do and feeling confident to do that. So we sort of taught people step by step what to say, what to ask, what to do. And the fifth step of the model is making a conscious decision and plan to help. So going through those five steps, the model says, makes people more likely to act. So we designed ours according to those five steps.
I see. I guess you would probably be pretty well versed as a PhD student, but was there anything that came out of it in terms of maybe some of those signs that even you weren't previously kind of aware of, something that might surprise just the everyday person to any listener out there?
I guess nothing that would come as a big surprise, but I guess it's often, I call it the perfect storm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's often a bunch of things that piles up. I think one thing that might be a bit of a surprise to the public is people who might engage in self-harm behaviour. People often think, oh, they're just seeking attention.
Yep.
And they're not really going to do anything, you know. But people who self-harm are 50% chance more likely to eventually end their life.
Wow.
And they are serious risk factors. So I think it is important for that one to know that the eventual risk of suicide is much, much higher. So it's important to take all of those seriously, not see it as attention-seeking, or seeing it as a vulnerable person needing help.
Yeah,
so I think another important one is guilt. Anyone with serious guilt or shame is also important. So that's why I interrupted you there.
No, that's okay. So those kind of experiencing guilt for something else that happened are at greater risk taking their own life.
Yeah, definitely. If someone just wants to curl up in a ball and disappear, that's a really important one to look out for as well.
Wow, that's quite scary stuff. Is it daunting for yourself kind of conducting or being involved in a study like this with such a sensitive subject matter?
I think it's so important because the stigma is still there, and we as a community in Australia, we have come a long way in terms of awareness. So people are aware of mental health and aware of suicide, but the stigma is still there. So I guess I'm passionate about breaking that stigma and reducing that fear of talking about it. And the only thing that can increase risk for people is talking about specific locations and methods of suicide.
Mm-hmm.
But generally talking about how someone's going, what's adding to their stress, what's getting them down, doesn't increase risk. And it's so important we talk more rather than staying quiet. So, I guess I'm passionate about giving people, the freedom to talk about it and not feel so daunted by it.
Yeah, absolutely. For anyone that kind of wanted to go and check out one of these resources, what's the best way to go about it? Is it just as simple as typing in maybe Googling bystander intervention model, or is there a specific way you would point someone?
Well, that's actually the next part. So I've just finished my PhD and we're now in the process of applying for grants and funding to turn this into something accessible for the public. So we want to make videos and apps and websites and get free resources out there.
I see.
To really equip the community. So we're working on that. So I'd say look out for those. If anyone wants to read more about it in general, yes, by all means, they can Google the bystander effect and the bystander intervention model. It won't be specific to suicide scenarios, but I think they can still learn a lot anyway.
Absolutely. It's important to get informed on that. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Corinne. I do really appreciate your time.
Thanks so much for having me. And of course, if anyone does need to reach out, Lifeline's always there. They're an amazing resource, 13, 11, 14.
Absolutely. Thanks for your time.
All right. Thanks, Jared. Take care.
Cheers. That was PhD student Corinne Hill of La Trobe University discussing a recent study into suicide prevention via online platforms detailed in the recent publication of Crisis, the Journal of Crisis Intervention and Suicide Prevention. Like Corinne just said, for anyone having a tough time at the moment, please do seek out help of those close to you or call Lifeline on 13 11 14.